This program, Morning Edition from NPR News, went on the air 25 years ago today. The news of that day was of a hostage taking half a world away.
This is a message of the students in the American Embassy of Tehran.
The State Department says it has gotten what it calls indications from the Iranian government that there will be help in negotiating the release of at least 60 Americans being held hostage at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. A spokesman says
the crisis reported on that first broadcast of Morning Edition would hold the attention of Americans for more than a year. The last hostages were only released after 444 days of captivity.
Morning Edition spoke with one of the former hostages 5 years ago, before September 11th, before America's current struggles with terrorism. Here is how then-embassy official John Limbert remembered November 1979.
The image that still comes to mind was, at the beginning, was a sense of disbelief. This just doesn't happen. People don't do these things. And if they do, well, fine. Somebody will straighten this out, and we'll be out of here in a couple of hours, maybe a day. But certainly no one expected things to go the way that they did.
We play John Limbert's recollections for another former hostage. Bruce Langan was in charge of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran in 1979. I ask him how he experiences the news coming out of Iraq these days of hostage taking and beheadings.
I'm appalled. I'm angry. I'm deeply grieved. I worry enormously, as all of us do. Put it in this way, this is revolutionary in terms of hostage taking. It wasn't done that way in the past, but it is being done now in this very difficult situation, brutally, cruelly, and we, all of us, I think, as hostages, any former hostages, has to react now with anger, with surprise, yes, with grief and concern for their families.
Does it in any way color your own experience? Do you look at this now and think at all?
Well, that's not analogous in terms of the treatment. Our treatment was bad enough, but this is outrageous. And therefore, I wouldn't try to compare it with our experience. It's so much worse. Granted, I cannot stop saying that we, too, were at risk of being, and not only at risk, some of us were brutally abused. But we were free in the final analysis, and I think all of us believed in our hearts that we would be. None of us expected this to go on long because of a previous seizure of the embassy 6 months, 8 months earlier, when we were held only for several hours.
There had been hostage situations in Europe. Israeli athletes had been held hostage and killed. What kind of world was it that Americans could never be held hostage?
Of course not. We were big. Many dimensions, not least in Tehran. To take an embassy and all of its people and hold them and use them in time as pawns in their political process, that was new. And the American public, and the American government, of course, but the American public particularly, reached out and embraced us because of their disgust and their concern and their feeling that American diplomats, above all, should not be taken hostage and used by a government to which they were accredited.
We have another piece of tape we'd like you to hear. Our colleague, Cokie Roberts, just very recently interviewed President Jimmy Carter, and he had this to say about the hostage crisis.
Within a few weeks of the taking of the hostages, I sent the Ayatollah Khomeini a message from me that if you injure a hostage, we will terminate Iran's trade entirely with the outside world. And if you kill a hostage, we will take military action against your country. And I sent this message to Khomeini, I believe, through seven different channels, primarily the German government and the Swiss government and others, to make sure he got the message.
Can the U.S. respond today, as it attempted to do when you were a hostage in Iran, diplomatically, to hostage taking?
Well, it's difficult, of course, when you don't have a relationship with the government's concern. I am not one of those who believe we should concede in any way to hostage takers. I think doing that, and it's easy for me to say that sitting here in comfort, but doing that only contributes to more terrorism down the road. The first step should be always to remind hostage takers that there will be a response.
Well, I'm also thinking these were students in Iran, but they were an entity, which you could see on the television. I mean, you could notes could be passed to them. With the current hostage takers, who are would seem to be more shadowy, is it possible for the U.S. to respond to them diplomatically?
In Iraq? No, I don't see any way we can do that. If anybody is going to respond to them, I suppose it's the government of Iraq today, to the extent it exists. In Tehran, we had some possibility of that. And I think that helped ensure that we weren't killed. I must take the opportunity, Renee, to make the point that the Iranian government has not reached out to us as former hostages in any way. We've never gotten an apology from them, nor assuredly have we gotten any compensation for our abuse.
What do you think, generally speaking, given this history of hostage-taking, the United States' relationship to Iran should be? And for someone who's listening and isn't looking at a map, to remind, Iran has a long border with Afghanistan. It has a long border with Iraq.
I continue to believe that we should be in dialogue with the government of Iran. It is ridiculous that 25 years later, practically to the day today, we have not talked officially with the government of Iran. Today we are face-to-face militarily with Iranians on their eastern border with Afghanistan, on their western border with Iraq. To the west is Israel with nuclear weapons. To the north is Russia with a nuclear weapons capability. To the east is Pakistan and India, both nuclear weapons states. We have to look at Iran in the context of how they fit. Given our respective shared interests in the Middle East, that makes no sense.
Bruce Langan was taken hostage in Tehran 25 years ago this week. Today, he is president of the American Academy of Diplomacy.
And in a way, you can say this story goes on in different places, in different ways. In Iraq and in Afghanistan, civilians from various countries are right now being held hostage. Another part of this story goes on, too.
When you were being held hostage, your wife was a spokeswoman for the hostages' families during the crisis, and she was credited with the now, what is now a custom of
beginning
tying
the tradition of yellow ribbons. That is correct. And the original oak tree is in our front yard still. And the yellow ribbon that she began that campaign with is in the Folklife Division of the Library of Congress on display.